looking forward to this interview over the whole weekend, actually. Joining me on the phone now, Sarah Metz, who is a communications professional in the Lansing area, also has been a East Lansing Rotary member. Good evening, Sarah. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
First of all, well, just to start with, wanted to get a hold of you after you went on a ride-along Friday night in the overnight hours with a Lansing Police Department officer. It's been articles in the paper. You tweeted about your experience, had some of it on Facebook as well. Are you stunned at the attention that this has gotten, Sarah?
Yes, absolutely. I actually met the police officer at a birthday party for a mutual friend and just was really interested in what she did. And I asked her if it was okay if I tweeted about it just so that I could let people know what a typical night was like for a Lansing police officer. And I was actually down in Battle Creek the next morning when I started getting text messages from my friends, and everybody said, oh, you're on the front page of the State Journal's website.
and well, I guess, first of all, we got to clarify a couple of things. Ride-alongs are not that unusual. I mean, people just,
no.
I think, don't ask very often because they're not sure how it would come together. But they happen, if not regularly, they do occur. This is not an unusual event.
No, not at all. Actually, I met another gentleman on Friday night who was along for a ride-along. He was an explorer. He was a young man who was doing like a job shadow, and he was in uniform. And I know that you can set them up through the city's website, so it isn't that uncommon at all.
And when I mentioned to you, and you and I spoke on yesterday, I guess it was, for a few minutes, that my daughter had trained in, so I was somewhat familiar with ride-alongs, and that Explorer program that you just mentioned is exactly what mm-hmm. she was involved in and was routinely on overnight ride-alongs, which, like you, that's where kind of the action happened. So that's where she wanted to be as well. The other thing that's kind of come out of this that I wanted to clear up earlier, and you kind of alluded to it when you said you had met this officer at a birthday celebration. Some folks have tried to portray this as kind of a political thing for you, and that wasn't it at all. You were simply tweeting your observations on your hours in the car.
Yeah, absolutely. The woman that I rode with was a friend, and I was just really interested in what she was doing. And so she said, sure, I'll take you along for a ride. She picked me up at my house, and it actually wasn't until I was in the car and we started talking that I found out that she was going to be laid off. So it was just a curiosity thing for me. And then, you know, once I got in the car, I said, well, is it okay if I document this? Can I take pictures? Can I talk about this on Twitter? And she said, sure. And we just agreed that I wouldn't identify anybody that we encountered and, you know, not give any incriminating information, but just to tell the story of what was going on.
Well, and I said, as your job is a communications professional, that's what you do. You communicate. So tweeting about it and documenting it would be nothing out of the ordinary for you. What are the kinds of things you saw Friday night in the overnight hours? Well, I guess I could say, what surprised you, or did anything surprise you?
Yeah, actually, I learned a lot on that ride. I was really surprised at the volume of calls that were coming in. I didn't realize that the city is broken up into districts, and each police officer covers one of the districts. And so there's 16 of them, one officer per, so 16 officers on for the night. And I didn't realize just how many calls would come in. You know, it seemed like there was always something coming up from dispatch, and we had to prioritize what the more serious calls were and then respond to those calls accordingly. And every time we left to go on something else, somebody else had to back up the district. So if we had to go respond to an accident, or we had to take somebody down to the jail, that left the remaining officers to cover our territory until we got back. And it was very, very busy.
Well, and I don't think that was very unusual either. I mean, yes, it was a Friday evening, but I don't think in those overnight hours that a lot of calls is unusual. Did your officer say that?
No, she said that's pretty typical,
okay,
that there's a lot of calls. But what I did learn is that they don't have a lot of time to be proactive in preventing crime. They don't do a lot of patrolling the streets. They're supposed to, and they do when they have idle time. But most of what we were doing was just responding to call after call after call after call. So even when we, you know, would go, for example, we went to interview a shooting victim. It was a while before we could even get back to take the evidence back to the lab because there were so many other calls coming in. So there were a lot of delays like that, and it was just because of the high volume of incidents.
And I guess that's where some of your realizations kind of came to fruition, that if we have these 16 districts, that are going to be lessened next year, is my understanding. We're going to go to 14 next year.
That's actually in July.
Oh, it's right now.
Yeah, so 14 districts, and it's going to be a bigger area with fewer officers covering.
And so do you have the concern, as I'm reading some of your tweet, I read through mm-hmm. your tweets through overnight, and I'm reading this and I'm thinking, wow, you know, response time, there's just no way response time is not going to be cut by going to fewer officers and fewer districts.
Right. And a lot of people have said, I've been following the comments on some of the things that I've posted, and people say, oh, well, you know, it's about crime rate, and, you know, maybe we don't need people preventing crime, and maybe it's not as bad as we think it is. And the point that I'd like to stress is that, yes, some of the incidents that we responded to were crimes. You know, there were, and I wasn't even along for some of these because they came in after I was dropped off, but there were assaults, there was a drunk driving accident, there was an incident where an officer was injured. I mean, my concern is that a lot of the incidents they respond to are actually emergencies. So somebody's injured or somebody is having a medical emergency, and the officers are the first people to the scene. And those are the things that really concern me. It's not even so much that they're catching bad guys per se, but yet, you know, you get an accident and you want to make sure that somebody's there to help you, and they're there to help you quickly so that something bad doesn't happen. And, you know, we do have increased crime rates. The officer I talked to said that she's seen a lot more gun crimes in the last year. And so when they have something like that, there more officers have to respond to a gun incident. And that takes officers away from things like responding to, for example, an accident like the one we witnessed where a woman drove backwards down Cedar Street, drove the wrong way on Cedar Street, and crashed into a Catabus sign.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, and I think your point is extremely important. Let's say you're the example you just gave. If there is a gun crime, obviously an officer, the days of a partner are so over. You know, mm-hmm. no one has a partner anymore. You have to have backup going to the scene of a gun crime because you're not sure what's going to happen. And then if I'm in a car accident on the other side of Lansing, I'm going to have to wait. And those minutes could be a matter of life and death.
Well, and it also puts the officers at risk, because if there's fewer officers available to back up the officers responding to a serious incident, even sometimes pulling somebody over, if they don't pull far enough over onto the road and you've got to block traffic to, you know, go up and talk to them at their window, that puts the officer at risk. If they're going to respond to, for example, an assault or a fight, you know, they don't always know when it comes over dispatch what exactly is going on. So they get a call to respond to a fight. You know, maybe they need more officers than just two. Maybe it's a bigger fight. Maybe, you know, there's something going on that they don't know about until they get there. And so, you know, definitely reducing the number of officers available puts the officers responding at risk.
It just
makes it more dangerous for them, too.
Without question, you told us about the accident, the car accident of somebody going the wrong way on Cedar. What were some of the other things that you were a part of, and what were the hours that you were there with the officer?
The officer was on from 5:30 p.m. until 5:30 in the morning. They have switched over to 12-hour shifts, actually, recently. But I was there from about 7 p.m. until about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was actually dropped off at 2 o'clock because the officer was going to take evidence back to the lab, and she ended up not going back right away because they had three more serious incidents right after she dropped me off. So there was a gentleman that was shot in the abdomen, there was a woman that was hit by a drunk driver, and then there was a police officer that actually blew out his knee trying to break up a fight, and they had to back him up. So a lot happened after I left as well. And then I talked to her the next day, and she had worked a 16-hour shift the next night because they were short-staffed for the day shift, and so three of the night officers had to stay over an extra 4 hours to cover that day shift. So, of course, they're exhausted. They get a 30-minute break. I mean, it's a long night for them.
Well, and again, this is not about a political statement. This is about what is.
This is just what I saw.
Yeah, this is that we're already stretched, you know, kind of thin. I mean, because there have been officers, you know, in the ranging in the number of 40 who have already who are already not with the Lansing Police Department, and we're looking at another 44. You said in your tweets that all of the officers that you ran across on Friday night had received layoff notices.
Yeah, all of the officers that were working the night shift that night were among the officers being laid off.
And so, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just going to say they were an excellent team, and I was really impressed with the way they handled everything. And it just makes me sad to think that we're losing such talented officers
What are their when you spoke with them and the subject came up? What were their reactions to you? Obviously, without identifying them, you know, where do they go from here? Do they hope something changes? I mean, you know, this is their career and this is a calling for them.
The officers that I talk to, they don't want to do anything else. They love their jobs. They love protecting the city. They're very committed to it, and they are going to keep doing their job until the day they're let go. So they fully intend to keep doing what they're doing until they just can't do it anymore. And I know they've talked about receiving counseling on how to post their resumes online and how to apply for jobs. So I think they're going to end up in the same boat as everybody else that's lost a job.
Well, your tweets were amazing. The stories you've been telling to various media outlets I think it's a very important story that needs to be told right now. And I certainly appreciate the time you've given us to tell us about it. If you had to kind of sum up the evening and what it meant to you and what you learned, what would you say?
Well, I would just say that the officers that I encountered over the course of the night wore many different hats. I saw them counseling teenagers on changing their life around, teenagers that were involved in gang violence. I saw them, you know, responding to injuries and accidents very calmly, very professionally. And I saw them, you know, being very firm with people who were causing trouble. And I just feel like these people are so talented and they work so hard and they're so good at what they do. And it's just really sad to me, just as a citizen in Lansing, to know that we're not going to have them looking out for us.
Well, very well said. As I said off the top, I know you were surprised at the attention this got, and I think it got it because it's an important story and it was told in a very unique and fresh way from objective eyes. And I think that's why the attention, and it's an important story. Sarah, thank you for taking a few minutes to tell us about it this evening.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.